Welcome back to the Unending TBR podcast. This is Nicole, and we have a very special author interview. Let's get to it. Very excited to welcome to the podcast today, Emily Conrad. Emily, thank you for joining.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, for somebody who hasn't read one of your books, would you describe your unique brand of contemporary romance?
Sure. Well, I've been writing under the tagline, escape into meaningful romance. And I hope that that's what my books do. I like to have some of those elements of escape, some of the fun things. The series that I just wrapped up was about rock stars. So there is a little bit of that fame and fortune storyline in there. But at the same time, I'm a person who likes to think deeply about things. And so I like to give my characters some real struggles and some real faith questions, especially that they're working through. So I like to think, I like to hope that they kind of balance both of that, the escape and the meaning.
Yeah, I really love that. I know I started with you in the last book in that series. I started with To Believe in You. And that was such a neat thing to see how you balance like the different issues that they would deal with, like in the line, like that type of life. I loved seeing that portrayed because I don't feel like it's done a lot in Christian fiction. So that was a real fun, unique aspect of life to see. And I like
it was fun.
Yeah. Okay. So with kind of your take on contemporary romance like that, why do you feel it is important to incorporate those serious themes and issues for your characters to struggle with?
Sure. Well, I think I mentioned or alluded to the fact that that's kind of what interests me. Mm-hmm. So when I'm reading books, every once in a while, I will get in a mood where I'm like, I just want to read something fun. And there are books out there for that, and it's great. And even when I'm in that mood, though, if I choose too light of a book, I get to the end and I'm like, yeah, but like it kind of maybe like because these characters still have pretty serious issues. Anybody, like even in a fun book, to have enough conflict to have an entire novel, there's a lot there, and it's like, well, yeah, but they could have like really dived deeper into what did that really feel like, and what is it like how do you come to terms with that happening? And I think part of the reason that that's important is because we have all those difficult things in our lives that we do somehow have to come to terms with. And we do somehow have to figure out, well, if I believe these things about God and this is how the world is, and how do I operate in a world like this one? And these issues, they come up, whether it's in our own lives or it's the lives of people that we love, or the lives of people that we go to church with and maybe want to be a support to. So yeah, I feel like it's really important to ask those questions, and fiction gives us a nice place to kind of explore some of that. Because we can say, well, does this still work if I take it to an extreme? Because it needs to, right? If it doesn't work under those kind of fictional, like extreme circumstances too, like, is that something that we can really live out? It needs to work under those things. So it's just a really fun way to kind of explore.
That's a really great way to put it. I know I read a book like a while ago, and I was chatting with another like friend of mine, and I was kind of like, nothing really went wrong. And it was it felt like, I'm like, okay, that was like a real, like it was like really sweet and all this stuff, but I'm like,
yeah,
nothing went wrong. Like there was no, I don't know if I'm kind of like, I feel like there's that element of whether it's external conflict or internal conflict. It's like that can so drive a story and really bring out so many elements. And then in some sense, like, oh, we don't want the characters to go through it, but we remember them so much more, I think, if they have gone through something.
Yeah.
So.
And it's I make charts for my characters with the conflict, internal and external. So each of my heroes and each of my heroines should have one of each, and they're going to be working through those. And ideally, sometimes what happens is they come together, and like those internal conflicts especially will play off of each other in ways that I don't really expect. And that's like one of my favorite parts of writing, is like being like, oh, look how similar their issues actually are, even though I wasn't trying to give them. Like, it's just like, that I think is a way that God shows up in Christian fiction, is like, oh, he pulls things together that I wasn't really thinking. But yeah, I think those, yeah, the low conflict novels have their place.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm the same way you are. Yeah, I need that conflict.
Yeah, it is so cool. And I love hearing all the stories. It's one thing that I've like loved from talking with so many of you authors about like how the Lord brings, I feel like he teaches so much through.
Oh, yeah.
And like he teaches us through its readers, because it's like, I remember many of times that it's like, a book will speak to something that I'm like, you know what, this is a change that I need to make in my life, or this is challenging me in how I need to, you know, deepen my faith. And but I never for like years didn't even think about it from the writer's point of view, because I just imagine that it's coming out as it does. But of like, of course he's working with both of us.
I think, is it there's a quote, and I think it might be Flannery O'Connor, maybe. But there's a quote, a famous writer who said something about, I write to know what I think, or I write to know what I believe, something along those lines. And that's me. I have a feeling that's probably a lot of Christian authors. My last series, The Rhythms of Redemption, was about a bunch of rock stars, but I actually initially was writing a standalone for To Bring You Back, and what was powering that story were my own questions about how, despite everything that David, King David, did, he could be called, like, known as a man after God's own heart. And like, how did that play out in his life? What would applying that kind of faith look like? So we ended up, I was like, well, David was, I mean, he was a king, but he was a famous musician. I was like, so obviously my guys have to be rock stars. And so that was part of the inspiration behind To Bring You Back. And it's just working out, like, I just really wasn't comfortable with King David. And it was a way for me to work out some of my questions about, like, well, what do you think this means? So yeah, definitely learning a lot.
That's really cool. I know, it's like, I've read the last book in that series and the first book. Now I've got to go and get the mail.
Okay.
But yeah, that is a really, I didn't know that. That is really interesting. I'm going to look at it with a whole new light now.
I do tend to do that. There was a little, we'll call it a seed of inspiration. It's not like modern retellings. But there was a seed of inspiration from either King David or people in King David's life or orbit in each of the books of the Rhythms of Redemption stories. So
that is really cool.
Can look for those.
Okay, I'm definitely. And I'll have to message you. I'm like, did I get it right?
Did I get it? Yeah. The discussion questions might give you some hints. I think I wrote a little bit, like, I think I might have alluded to, like, who it was inspired by in the discussion questions at the end. So.
Awesome. So now, with that kind of thing, have you faced challenges or pushbacks from like readers or publishers, you know, regarding the inclusion of like difficult topics? Because the last book in that series, you know, had somebody who was recovering from, you know, drug addiction. And have you had that kind of pushback in your novels? And if you did, how did you handle that?
How did I handle it? well, okay. So I have not gotten a lot of pushback,
Okay, that's
which I think there is kind of this idea that Christian readers, I think there's a stereotype maybe that Christian readers would stay away from things like that. But I have found, well, Christian readers love a redemption story is something that seems to come across to me. And so people go over the course of the series, Matt is an addict in book one, and his behavior is pretty bad, and people hate him. And by book four, that book seems to have been better received than any of them. So people love that redemption arc, and they don't mind characters with messy pasts, is what it seems like. As far as pushback, I have encountered back when I was like first pitching to bring you back, so the first one in that series, again, it's a seed of an inspiration. It's not a modern retelling, so there are differences. But the seed of inspiration for that came from David and Bathsheba. And so when I was pitching that to agents at a conference, people really lit up over it. And I was encouraged by that, but I did also like pitch it some on Twitter, and I had someone private message me concerned about glorifying sin. And I can see where that would come from. But at the same time, I mean, the circumstances for my characters was different than David and Bathsheba, but
I know now
it's
I'm
like, I
story and
think,
I'm pulling pieces. I'm like, okay, I could see a little bit of that and a little bit of that, but it's very different.
yeah, it is different. Yeah.
At all, like, yeah, but I can see,
Yeah.
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 Okay.
There it wasn't about, a married couple or,
Yeah.
so anyway, it was different. But I think there's maybe more, and I've done this too, seeing people like share about their book idea and they say that it's gritty Christian fiction. And I think there might be a concern like, well, is it actually written from a Christian worldview or is it glorifying sin? And I think there's a lot of Christian fiction out there that is able to talk about those difficult subjects without glorifying the sin. And I think that's kind of the key. But that said, I think it might also be my lowest rated book. And when I knew you were going to ask this question, so I started thinking about it, like, challenges or pushback regarding difficult topics. My lowest rated book is the one that at the start, both of the main characters are not believers. They are both, they're trying to be happy. They're trying to be loved. And they're trying like
Like non-Christian.
lost people, like people who don't know a different way, and maybe people around them have told them a different way and they're still thinking they know the right way to do this, And so they're making these bad choices. And so it's not so much that people bash them or say like, I didn't want to read a story about these things. But I think it's a little harder to relate. Because in that one, there's more addiction. And that time he doesn't start off in recovery. And it's that I think it's harder for readers to relate when the difficult topic is kind of like immediate and ongoing. But that particular story has my favorite redemption arc at the end. Like, I just love the way it comes together, but you do have to wait for it. So I've actually found Christian readers to stick with me through all kinds of difficult topics. my debut was about a sexual assault or the aftermath of one, you know, written about addiction and controlling family members. And boy, you know, then you go on a podcast and you blank out on all the other stuff you've written about. But I think there's other stuff. loss of a family member, how about that? But like, yeah, people lying and doing all kinds of things. So
when it's like we're fault, and it's like I feel like so many of those times it's like to be able, you know, like how you mentioned before, we love to see that redemption out of it, regardless of like, or just even,
and it's just about that. The only pushback I get from readers, and it's not even pushback, it's just, oh, I had a harder time relating to this character because it's not their life experience, and that makes sense.
I also think it's sometimes, I remember like sometimes when I like go to reread books, it's like I'll identify with one character at one point in my life, but then like years later when I go to reread it, I'm like, I'm in a totally different place, and I so relate to this other character this time. So it's like, I think sometimes it's like, oh, maybe you just aren't in the right place to read it then, or it's not lining up, you're right, with your life experiences at that time.
And it's, I think that's a sign of a good book when you go back later and you're like, whoa, it's different this time around, there's more here than I noticed the first time, or something different. So sign of a good book.
Yep, that's true. So talking about like all this, if you could change one thing about how Christian fiction is viewed or perceived, what do you feel it would be?
I do think that there is a stereotype outside of the people who are regularly reading Christian fiction, that Christian fiction is light, fluffy, and cheesy, or preachy. And there really is so much more out there. And there's so much more out there even than, like, there's so much depth to Christian fiction. Like, if there is a certain type of story that you enjoy, there is probably going to be Christian fiction that includes those elements and does it very well. There my to be read pile, like it's like the unending TBR, like there's so much out there that it's like, oh man, and this sounds so good, and that does, and so there's so much depth out there.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's like, I feel like in the last, you know, several years, and then it's like, it seems like it gets bigger and bigger, broader and broader, like more genres, like all different kind, like the indie world, like a little bit, like I feel like there is consistency. There's a little bit of like branching out, but like really how like the indie publishing explosion has really brought so much like variety to the mix. I feel like it's incredible. And I remember talking with like a family member that they were like, was like reading this, and they go, and that's in Christian fiction. And it's like, yeah, we have just like just about anything.
Yeah. So many options.
It's incredible. I know. I wish. And it's like, and then I'll go to like my local Barnes and Noble and the little narrow Christian fiction stand. And I'm looking at it like, oh my goodness, this doesn't even touch what's available. So
right. Yeah.
Yes. Now I'll get off my soapbox.
Well, I think that soapbox is part of how you and I ended up chatting recently, right? I think it was over a certain viral reel. So
yeah, that is true. So tell us about your upcoming release. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, one of my favorite tropes seems to be opposites attract, because I keep writing it. So in A Surefire Love, which releases at the very end of April, the 29th, Anson Marsh is a youth pastor. He is the town golden boy, all grown up now. And she's the daughter of an alcoholic trying to raise her sister and get her life together. there's a situation with her sister that inspires her to volunteer for his team of youth leaders. And it was just, it was a lot of fun to watch this level-headed, straight-laced hero start to explore what it might mean to follow his heart. And she's, you know, there's, I had a lot of fun with the story, especially with that element, I think.
I feel like opposites attract, and it sounds like a little bit of like making work together, force proximity. It's like, oh, that can be really fun.
Yeah, and I, small town, I moved, you're a little bit familiar with the Rhythms of Redemption series. Well, the new series, this is the first book in the new series, and it is set in Iowa, which is where one of the heroes from the Rhythms of Redemption series kind of ended up. The heroine in this story sings at the restaurant and music venue that this character from the Rhythms of Redemption went and opened. So it's fun to have, he gets some cameos and stuff like that. So
that's fun. Yeah. It's, I always love cameos and crossing over. It's so fun.
I you know, she sings some awestruck songs and like, yeah, I had some fun with that.
You know, that was, I know there are so many times that it's like, I was like listening or reading the awestruck thing, and I'm kind of like, but I want to listen to the song now.
I would love to too.
Like, oh, it's happened too when I've like read Susan May Warren's, and she has a thing, it's like, it's almost like playing in my head the songs, but I'm like, but now I want a playlist of it, I want the songs.
Yeah, if only, right? If yeah. only I had like the singing ability or knew a, like, my husband is a drummer, okay, but not a whole band, so.
Oh, that's funny. So what inspired this story?
Well, it's, I knew you were going to ask this, and I was like, it's a fair question. But it is kind of an instance of like just following one little thread after another one to come up with a new idea. So my previous books have been somewhat inspired by biblical accounts. So my debut was inspired by, not a retelling, this is very important because the circumstances were so different, there was a seed of inspiration from Mary and Joseph. Obviously Jesus only comes once in history, this is not that, very different story. But then the Rhythms of Redemption, it was King David, and I was like, I would like an idea that could potentially be a long series depending on how it's going. And I was like, it would be nice if there was a large chunk of the Bible, like we have so much material on David that I had a lot of choices. I was like, it'd be nice if there was a large chunk of scripture that I could like borrow ideas from if I needed them. So I was like, what about like the 12 tribes of Judah? There's 12. That's a lot. And boy, like that's a huge chunk of the Bible, obviously. So that was kind of where the idea went. But from there, it just, these stories are not actually retellings of anything. So I ended up, I named their high school basketball coach Judah. Their team mascot is the Lions. But long before the story starts, there's a bus accident. They lose their coach. And now we're 10 years later in the future. And this is how lies that were reinforced by that accident and that loss are now kind of still impacting their lives all these years later. And so it's, the books in the series will be each of these players, or however many I get to, dealing with the lies that were enforced by the accident. And Anson is the one who kind of decided to pick up his coach's legacy and run with it. And so that's
carrying the scepter.
Yeah. So that's kind of like, it's not like this, like, oh yeah, this happened in my life and I just, you know, or I saw, you know, it's more like I followed one thread after another and here we are. So
And does that usually come to you as you're writing it, or do you like pre-plot everything out?
I have a spreadsheet.
Yep.
So each of the lions has a little description, and I know what each of the lies are that were reinforced, and I know what part they played on the team. Part is not the right word. I'm not an athlete. What position they each played on the team. And like, so I know these things about them because I wanted to have an idea so that they could have cameos in each other's stories. But other things with the plot, I'm not a great plotter. So I do like, and me, yeah. It just those deeper themes don't really develop for me until I'm writing this story. For this book, I didn't actually know what the characters were most afraid of until I was like 250 pages into the book. One of them finally was like, "What I'm actually afraid of is this," and I was like, "Now you tell me." So yeah, so I kind of discover things as I go along.
That is so interesting. That is so good. What do you, what so what now what has been your favorite element of this story to write?
I do think it's kind of been watching Anson, who is very dependent on logic and doing the right thing, and it doesn't turn out the way he expects. It doesn't work. And so then it's watching him find his footing, yeah, come to terms with a life that really isn't what he expected it to be. Has been a lot of fun. A lot of fun to watch like the serious and kind of stoic Anson fall head over heels for someone. That was fun.
Is really fun. And then so and like I'm really curious too about like this sister. I love like the and I don't know what it's called. I don't know if there's a certain name for it with the but it's like when one of them is for like from like the wrong side of the tracks, especially in like small towns.
Yes,
No,
yes.
like if there is a specific trope title, but I love that crossing of like how the misconceptions they'll each have of each other, and yeah, no,
Yeah.
I somebody needs to come up with a name for that trope because there's so many that I'm like they're
Yeah.
in this little bubble, but I don't have a name for it.
Yeah.
And then
Yeah. I mean,
opposites attract, but it's also like, and
reformed bad girl,
yeah, and some
like,
of them,
because there's yeah,
is she a reformed bad girl? I
she
wonder.
yeah, she is, but I'm not sure her reputation has really caught up with that. And with small towns, like,
Yeah.
my husband is from a small town, and so to hear people there talk, they're like, oh yeah, you remember this person? He's this person's kid, and they lived out there, and like, you know, like they trace back family generations. Like, and so I gave her a very troubled family tree. And so that this is kind of how she's known. And so of course that adds a little extra conflict when she suddenly wants to be a youth leader. He's like, like he knows her story, and it's not a great one.
That's an interesting challenge too, when you're dealing with like the church and it's like, okay, when do you like let go of the reputation for like the new creation and all of that?
Right, yeah.
Like that's an interesting thing to explore because it's like, you know, we're humans, we're made up with and we have those human prejudices.
Yeah.
That's really
Yeah.
interesting. So, do you feel like there's a particular element of this story that could like would or could challenge readers in regards to their faith? Where do you feel like that? Do you
Well, I don't know if it'll specifically challenge their faith, but maybe it would. Or maybe just the treatment or the interactions with other believers. There's church conflict in this story. And that goes way beyond just Blaze and Anson, to some things that are happening in the leadership team. And I hope that some of the, I mean, church conflict, unfortunately, is a very real thing. And it can get bad.
No, I remember, like, when this came out and, like, you released some of the information, you talked about, like, the church conflict thing. I'm like, you know, that's something, like, really, it's, like, brave in a way, I feel like, with the Christian fiction, because even within our own, I've come across a couple, but it's also, like, you know, even in the church, they're still human. Like, people, even our leadership shouldn't be up on a pedestal that they can't have their own redemption arc. Even if it's within, I thought that was really interesting that
so,
you.
Sorry, I. I've seen it impact people, and there was a time when there was a pretty big conflict in the church I went to as a high schooler, and it can really impact and shape people. So I kind of put my hero in the middle of one. and I hope that there's something there that would be helpful. There's some talk of generational curses, and kind of dealing with overcoming that, how to live something like that down, or how to change, how to overcome. And a big part of the story also has to do with undiagnosed ADHD, which isn't really challenging faith exactly, but it maybe it would. I think, I mean, our faith impacts how we deal with pretty much any challenge, I think. So maybe it's all connected, but I learned a lot about ADHD through this. I have family members with it, but I still didn't really realize a lot about it. So I learned a ton, and I hope that in some way, it better not read like a nonfiction book, but I do hope that there's something that there is something that is helpful perspective wise in there, even just for people who are dealing with different personality types or different people, and just having a little bit more grace toward some of the differences. And, you know, we'll see.
I know. I like hearing that, because it's like, okay, yeah, not everybody's going to only think one way, only act one way, only behave one way, regardless of your salvation. It's like we still have individuality about how we process things. So that's gonna be really interesting. So who do you feel has been, I realized I kind of like skipped over this question that I was going to ask earlier. Who do you feel is the most popular couple with your readers?
I would say Matt and Lena in To Believe in You. I could tell when I was getting their story ready, like as I was finishing the edits and stuff, I could tell that their story had a little something different. And it seems like readers have really resonated with it. Like they love a redemption story. I do too. But you know, it is really a redemption story. I do think throughout the series, the heroes kind of stole the show, which makes sense, because I kind of thought of them as like Gannon's story and John's story and Philip's story and Matt's story. But I think probably them.
I can see that. That is awesome. I'm excited about this. And this really, and then, so A Surefire Love releases April 29th, you said.
Yes.
So now, what do you like, what can you recommend to a reader? What do you feel is like an underappreciated book or an author that you wish more people knew about?
This is a good question, because I mean, I was tempted to be like, just indie authors in general. There are so many out there. And even I need to be like looking for them and reading more of them. And there are some that I've seen that I haven't read yet that just sound really good. But I was also thinking about Tammy L. Gray. You and I might have interacted over Mercy's Fight as well.
Yeah, that was my introduction to her, and I'm like, where's this book?
Yeah. Yeah, such a good book. And
And
we don't really hear about, like, once a book has been out for a year or two, you don't hear very much about it. And so that one's been out for a while. Such a good book.
Oh, I found it in 2020 or 2021, and I'm
Oh,
like,
did you?
why is nobody talking about this book? Like, that's when
Yeah.
I don't even remember when it's released. It's like, and I've got like, I think I got like one or two other people to read it. I'm like, you have to read this book. And it's just like, yeah, no, Tammy L. Gray is really, especially that one. That one is still my favorite.
Yeah. And I've read a couple of her other ones. Love and the Silver Lining was a good one too.
Yeah.
That series is about a rock band, so for me it was like that was fun to see what another author did with that. So that was fun, and I was one of my early readers who had helped me with the ADHD aspect of the book, was like, in A Surefire Love, she read it and she was like, you know, this deals a little bit with following God and then having things not turn out the way you expect them to, or the way like that they quote unquote should. And that's something I don't see very often, but I did see it in Love and the Silver Lining by Tammy L. Gray. And I was like, that's a big compliment, because she writes about hard topics and I think she does it really well.
Was absolutely broken hearted when I heard she's taking a break. Like
Yeah, I had heard about that too. I wasn't certain if that was like a for sure thing, but I had heard that, so.
I know, and I was like, but you know, here you come carrying up the
Carry it on. Yeah. And I just yeah, I loved her voice. And hopefully we'll get more books from her in the future, but I do have more of her backlist to read yet. So
Me
that's
too.
good too. But yeah.
I have like her, I think, yeah, I have a few of her earlier books that I still need to do. I'm just whining that there's not new ones coming out
Yeah.
too. And
Yeah, I know. I like the new shiny ones too. Aren't those fun?
They are, but I know, yeah, there's so many great indie authors to do, but it's like it's really hard because it's unless you're in a group, like I don't know how I would have found so many of these, like without being on like Facebook groups that are sharing it or Instagram. Like there's I found so many through Instagram. It's just
Yeah.
so that's amazing. So and then so, do you have something coming out that you're working for after A Surefire Love? Well, what are you working on next?
Well, my next book will be my contribution for 2024 to the Christmas in Redemption Ridge series. So I'm
Oh,
part
okay.
of a multi-author series set in Colorado. These are a little bit shorter, and I try to keep mine a little bit lighter than I sometimes go.
You don't have enough
So,
time to do all your.
don't what?
You don't have enough time to do all your more
Oh,
serious topics, right? Yeah.
yeah, I ran my deadlines a little tight this time around. So, getting A Surefire Love ready has been more of a scramble than I would like. So that is why I'm working on my Redemption Ridge book, like as soon as I have A Surefire Love done, so that it will be done in plenty of time before it comes out late this year. And then hopefully I can start on the next Many Oaks romance. That's the series that A Surefire Love is in. But yeah, I've been researching rodeo and things that can go wrong with a horse. And this one will be a romance between a former rodeo star turned horse trainer and a large animal vet. And it's going to be set at Christmas time. And I'm hoping that it'll be fun, but you know me, there's going to be something in there that they're dealing with, obviously. So
I would expect nothing less.
right. Yeah. There's going to be something in there. So
Oh, that sounds cool. I know. Yeah. That sounds really fun. I know I love vet I watch the, you know, the reality vet stuff too. So it's like hearing about like a large animal vet too. That's gonna be really neat. That's another thing I feel like we don't have enough of.
Large animal vets
What?
in fiction, animal
Yeah.
vets, large
Animal.
animal vets in fiction. Yeah. I've watched YouTube videos. I have animals, but only small ones. So I watched a bunch of videos and I was reading about like horse exams for things. And I was like, wait, they do what? And like watch YouTube videos. Like, sure enough, they do.
No, I was a kid and for years I grew up on a horse breeding farm.
Oh, you did. Okay.
So like as a kid we saw like I saw a foal being born and the
Yeah.
there and it was just such a cool experience. But now I'm like, oh yeah, you can't take it for granted when you're a kid watching. It's
Yeah.
like everybody knows this and it's like, no,
Yeah.
not everybody knows that.
Yeah. I'll have to like hit you up for like, hey, does this seem realistic to you?
Sure, yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah. No, I took a couple horseback riding lessons once upon a time, but that's really the extent of my horse experience. Oh, and I collected briar horses for
Oh.
like my whole childhood. But yeah, beyond that, I'm doing a lot of research.
Briar horses were like the first promise of like before the Beanie Baby craze. It's like we're gonna keep
Yeah.
little briar horses.
That could be like, yeah, I asked for them every Christmas. And I could always tell if it was a briar horse that was under the wrapping paper because they had like a specific type of box.
Yep.
And like, yep.
Live on the one side of the box and not the other.
Yes. Yeah. See, you know what I'm talking about. Yep.
Briar horse people will know.
Yeah. The 12-year-old girl in all of us is like,
Absolutely. Okay. That is awesome. Well, where can listeners follow you, keep up to date with you? Do you have a newsletter? All that stuff.
sure, I do have a newsletter. You get the prequel novella to the Rhythms of Redemption series when you sign up. My website is emilyconradauthor.com. And Emily Conrad Author is also my Facebook and Instagram handle. So, yeah.
That is great. Well, thank you so much for chatting. Really
Well,
looking.
thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're going to need to talk next time about the next part of it.
Yeah, horses, right? We can talk more about horses.
Always up for that too. Horses and
Sounds good.
okay. Thank you again for chatting.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, may your TBR be unending.